KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, breezy, and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today with a slight chance of rain or drizzle late this afternoon and this evening, a high around 38. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, the number of people killed in traffic crashes in Iowa this year will likely be more than last year. The 317 traffic fatalities last year marked the lowest annual total since 1944. As of Tuesday of this week, the traffic fatality count for this year already stood at 317. Iowa State Patrol Sergeant Scott Bright says there were some violent collisions last month on the state roadways that quickly raised the number of traffic deaths for the year.
We had 40-some fatalities just in November, which raised the numbers. We had some serious collisions that month. I recall one where we had 5 fatalities just in one collision.
There was also a single weekend back in January when freezing rain made roads slick and 11 people lost their lives on Iowa roadways. While most Iowans wear a seatbelt when they're in a vehicle, more than half the people who died last year in Iowa traffic crashes were not wearing a seatbelt.
What we're seeing is a lot of people, you know, around towns, small communities, if they're just leaving their house, running down the road 3-4 miles, people aren't using their seatbelts, and most collisions usually occur 10 miles from your residence, so if people are going to leave their residence just for a few miles, make sure they put that seatbelt on. Seatbelts do save lives.
According to the U.S. Department of Transportation figures, around 94% of Iowans routinely buckle up in a vehicle. The national seatbelt usage rate is 87%. Officials are commending a Waterloo police sergeant who helped out a stranded traveler from Ohio. Sergeant Melissa Ludwig will receive a commendation certificate for going above and beyond the demands of her duties. Police say 66-year-old Carol Ann Adams of Cleveland last Saturday boarded a wrong connecting bus on her way to Houston and ended up in Waterloo. Adams was soon taken to a hospital for treatment of diabetic problems. Her son called police later to say that he hadn't heard from his mother after she left the hospital. Ludwig found Adams near the bus terminal. Ludwig took her to a restaurant for a meal and then to a motel, where Ludwig rented a room and arranged for Adams's transportation to the terminal on Sunday. A Davenport woman has been arrested after an 18-month-old girl in her care died from injuries she suffered after falling down a staircase. 29-year-old Stephanie L. Harris faces a felony count of child endangerment causing death. An affidavit by Davenport police says officers were sent to Harris's home on November 6th after receiving a report that a child was having trouble breathing. The girl was taken to a Davenport hospital and later transported to University of Iowa hospitals and clinics, where she died on November the 8th. An autopsy determined the girl died from head injuries. Authorities say they also found marks and injuries on the girl's body that indicated neglect. Elsewhere in state news, a meeting is scheduled for next month in Des Moines to help develop more programs in Iowa that encourage kids to walk or bike to school. Alana Krakow, director of the Safe Routes to School program, says her organization is making good headway, but there's a lot more that can be done.
A lot of people are, I think, hesitant about building programs like walking school bus programs, or they feel that the infrastructure in their community is not up to par.
There are ways to work around a lack of sidewalks or traffic signals, according to Krakow. A walking school bus simply involves kids walking together to school with designated stops along the way.
There are 2 adults walking with the kids, and they just pick kids up along the way on the route to school, and it's a lot of fun. Kids seem to love it.
The Iowa Safe Routes to School meeting will take place on the morning of January 24th at the Iowa Events Center. One of the presentations will involve a pair of injury prevention specialists from the University of Iowa who are preparing a study which will utilize GPS-enabled helmet cameras to capture the bicycling experience of children and adults.
It'll help us kind of see what kids see and how they react to certain situations. So I think it's going to be a really, really cool program.
Getting kids to be more active and healthy will improve their performance in the classroom, according to Krakow. More Iowa school districts are now offering students healthier snacks that focus more on things like juice or an apple instead of chips, a candy bar, or pop. A survey from the Kids Safe and Healthful Food Projects finds that more than 9 out of 10 Iowa school districts are in compliance with the new federal recommendations. Jessica Donzie Black is the project's director, and she says Iowa is doing well.
In 2012, USDA rolled out updated standards for school lunch and school breakfast to make sure that they too were serving what it was kids really needed. And as of this past spring, 91% of districts in Iowa had been certified as meeting those standards. So really the vast majority of schools are serving healthier lunches, healthier breakfasts on a daily basis.
In recent months, there were reports of Iowa students being unhappy with their menu choices, chucking the healthier foods in the trash. Donzie Black says that Iowa schools are seeing more favorable results when the students are included in the effort.
They've done taste tests. They've invited students to be part of the menu planning process. They've served foods in a way that's more interesting to kids or give kids more decision-making authority, like having salad bars or make-your-own sandwich bars.
She says 64 million meals were served in Iowa's public schools last year, which shows why it's so important to emphasize good nutrition. A recent poll found 72% of parents favor national standards for school meals, and just as many support standards for school snacks.
Schools will be implementing updated standards that reflect current nutrition science around more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, healthier proteins, lean, low-fat dairy, in reasonable portion sizes without too much sodium or sugar or fat or things kids don't need as much of.
Donzie Black said it's a matter of cash incentives for administrators. Schools that meet the standards get a larger reimbursement from the USDA. So she says the 9% of Iowa districts that aren't complying aren't getting as much federal money. A judge has granted a request by a former Forest City police officer to move his trial out of Winnebago County. Judge Deidre Schroeder ruled that Thaddeus Ellenbecker's new trial will be held in Floyd County. The trial is scheduled to begin January 21st. In May, the Iowa Court of Appeals ordered a new trial for Ellenbecker because officers didn't read Ellenbecker his Miranda rights. Ellenbecker was convicted in 2012 of arson and burglary. He's accused of setting a fire that damaged the Forest City Police Station in October of 2011. Authorities say he stole an assault rifle from a squad car in November of 2010. Ellenbecker was shot during a scuffle with a state agent investigating those crimes. The state treasurer's office handled more than $21.5 billion in receipts in the last fiscal year for the state. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
That $21.5 billion is a combination of taxes paid to the state, along with payments to Iowa from the federal government to run programs like Medicaid. The treasurer paid out $20.5 billion of that to cover state government operations, including construction of new state buildings plus new roads and bridges. As for the other side of the ledger, the state has $920 million in outstanding debts. Those debts are in the form of bonds that are being paid off in yearly increments. State Treasurer Mike Fitzgerald is the guy in charge of handling all that money.
We're low, very low debt state. Our pension funds aren't perfect, but they're solid. We have a surplus. Reserve funds are full, so we're in solid shape. The farm economy will hold up.
Fitzgerald says dropping corn prices cause concern that farm income will drop significantly in the coming year and depress state tax collections. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.